AccuWeather forecast, mainly sunny, high today around 16. One home at 1227 Lawndale Avenue in Mount Pleasant's Lake Park neighborhood destroyed by fire after 2 this morning. Another house nearby at 1225 incurring significant damage. Meanwhile, a woman and a child both going to the hospital with burns. It was an attic fire for which the cause is still under investigation. A woman called 911 dispatch reporting a lot of smoke and flames inside, and she was having trouble breathing. The occupants did get out safely as crews responded. They found the 1.5-story home engulfed in flames, which extended to the other home. The 57-year-old woman transported by South Shore paramedics with first and second degree burns to her arms and legs. A 5-year-old boy had a few minor burns. The cold weather conditions led the incident commander to declare a mutual aid response. That resulted in crews and equipment from neighboring communities coming in to help. Also helping in that response, the fact that the nearest hydrant had been cleared of snow for easy access. A news release says additional damage would have occurred had this not been done. New technology designed to help commercial truck drivers find safe, convenient parking now being installed near 4 Wisconsin rest areas along eastbound I-94. This is part of a federal grant. The sites are near Menominee, Black River Falls, Linden Station, and Portage. They're being outfitted with sensors connected to roadside message boards. Randy Hoyt is with the state DOT's Bureau of Traffic Operations, says the message boards will provide some real-time information about availability in terms of parking as the truckers get closer.
The information or the occupancy of the lot is then displayed on roadside electronic message boards. Those are placed anywhere between 1 and 10 miles in advance of a rest area, so drivers know how many stalls are available as they approach it.
Plans are to install similar systems next year along the four companion areas on the west side. Hoyt says the system allows the truckers to better plan for their rest areas, can also save them both time and fuel, avoiding the need to go off the freeway to find that parking. Police in Kenosha still trying to figure out the circumstances under which some bullets ended up in a local movie theater. Not bullet holes, bullets. The 9mm ammunition, 17 bullets in all, were in a clip. It was discovered in a seat by an employee of the Tinseltown Theater off Highways 50 and 31. This was during the showing of the new Star Wars movie. The employee did not see who was in that seat. She turned the bullet clip over to a manager who then contacted police. Over the border in neighboring Illinois with the start of the new year, there's a new law that's going to kick in. It'll require beauty salon workers to recognize the signs of domestic abuse and assault.
The state's 88,000 licensed beauty professionals must take an hour-long course designed to teach them to recognize signs of domestic violence and ways to address it. Stylists will be required to complete the course while applying for a new license, and then as an additional hour added to the 14 hours of continuing education required for license renewal every 2 years. The law includes barbers, cosmetologists, hair braiders, and nail technicians, and will be enforced by the Department of Financial and Professional Regulation. I'm Marlis Majerus.
The Racine Traffic Commission will be meeting at 4 o'clock this afternoon in City Hall Room 303. The agenda includes a handful of requests for some traffic studies, some degree of traffic control at particular locations, or parking changes. Meanwhile, Kenosha's Transit Commission will be meeting at 4:30 at the 52nd Street Transit Facility. The agenda for that meeting, the only item, review and discuss the new expanded bus service. Coming up at 6 o'clock tonight in Caledonia's Eastside Community Center, it's a public hearing on the installation of a sanitary sewer and related water main on Highway K between Adams Road and the interstate and the related assessment. The Village Board will be taking action on those items afterward. Then the Village Board has its regular business meeting at 7 o'clock. The agenda includes resolutions of support for proposed changes to the alcohol-related driving offense statutes and for the state's National Guard and Reserves. A close look is going to be given next year through a study at facilities for the Racine Police and Fire Departments because there's an aging safety building they're living in now. The amount of fixes up money it continues to require each year is also a factor. DPW Commissioner Mark Yellen telling the Public Works Committee recently that study could tie into the use of the annex building immediately to the south.
Our concern in Public Works is the fact that the safety building is 50 years old. It's reached the end of its projected service life. What are we going to do going forward? One of the things we are going to be looking at is, you know, is the City Hall annex a candidate for renovation to house the police department in.
The Racine Council with the 2017 CIP budget did include $50,000 for the study on facilities and the needs of the police and fire departments. Rescuers say that a couple in Fall Creek, Wisconsin, in Eau Claire County, really got lucky. They spent a few cold hours trapped together in a silo last evening. Police say that the man was working in the storage facility and the material inside collapsed on him. His wife got in, tried to pull him out. She got trapped as well. In all, the couple spent about 5 hours trapped in that silo. The temperature outside, 8 degrees below zero. The Racine Unified School Board's regular monthly business meeting is tonight at 6:30. The agenda includes consideration of a one-year contract extension for Superintendent Lolly Hawes, who issued a statement on Friday saying this will be a transition period to new leadership. Now, whether that means the Board of Education will look to Deputy Superintendent Eric Gallion to take over or decide to conduct a search, that remains to be seen. The recommended end also to a three-year-old charter school agreement between the district and the Racine Civil Leaders Academy. It's the RCLA board making the request from its decision of 2 weeks ago to be effective June 30th next year. Affected students will be going back to their neighborhood attendance boundary school in the fall of 2017. Well, regardless of where you were born or where you live in the state of Wisconsin, many of your vital records will be available from any Register of Deeds office in the state, effective with the start of the new year.
Prior to the change, someone born in Kenosha County but living elsewhere in the state would have to get his or her birth certificate from Kenosha County, according to Joellen Stortz, Kenosha County's Register of Deeds. The statewide issuance of vital records will allow Register of Deeds offices to issue birth, death, marriage, and divorce records from all Wisconsin counties if those records are available in the statewide vital records information system. Stortz says, however, that not all vital records will be eligible for statewide issuance, and some may not be readily available. The State Vital Records Office is working with Register of Deeds offices to implement a program to make those records available on demand. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
Illinois is getting praised for last month's passage of the Future Energy Jobs Bill, which some are calling the most important climate bill in that state's history. Attorney Brad Klein with the Environmental Law and Policy Center is hoping that other Midwest states, including Wisconsin, will follow that lead. He says the legislation will lead to huge growth in solar and wind technology while combating climate change, creating jobs, and lowering utility bills.
This legislation has programs like community solar programs and low-income programs that are going to help people access the solar market and benefit from solar, even if they can't put solar on their own rooftops.
Wisconsin's home to 166 solar companies, 31st nationally for installed solar capacity, so there's plenty of room to grow. Putting up cell phone towers a whole lot easier than it used to be in most circumstances thanks to changes in laws, but the request from Verizon Wireless to locate some rooftop-mounted antennas and some related equipment in downtown Racine at 201 6th Street, that's been moving a little slower than usual. A recent Landmarks Preservation Commission meeting dealt with that issue. Deputy City Planner Matt Sadowski noting the State Historical Society had a voice in the process, found no adverse effect, but his office did have some concerns.
We are not opposed to a facility being on this building. It definitely will help reception or services in the area. We're just concerned about the design and its impact on this building and its precedence for other buildings.
Nathan Ward, representing Horizon, said this particular tower proposal has been quite an undertaking, but the site is needed. Jerry Dumont, the co-owner of Dewey's on the ground level, spoke in favor of allowing the antennas.
Is the answer that you want to tear these buildings down so you can put up buildings like McMinn and Johnson's that you allow towers on, or are you going to let us coexist? And I can tell you, just last year when we went to refinance, once again, the banks in the city of Racine did not want to take a chance on downtown because of, you know, the rent and the vacant buildings. And you know what they said to us? Because this was already in the works. If you get that sell contract signed, we'll finance you.
The Landmarks Commission did support the Verizon request to locate the towers atop the building, but it failed to come up on the Plan Commission meeting a few days later. A company based in Twin Lakes is among 26 state manufacturers nominated for the 29th Annual Wisconsin Manufacturer of the Year Awards. Five Star Fabricating and Five Star Coatings Group, the only local company to get a nomination. The program recognizes the state's top manufacturers for the commitment to doing good business practices, innovative processes, and productivity enhancements. A total of 4 grant award winners will be chosen from the categories based on company size. The awards to be doled out in February. And take note, this is the busiest day for the Postal Service. More than 600 million pieces of mail being processed and shipped across the country. If you're still wrapping gifts, there are some important deadlines still coming up this week, like tomorrow. It's for sending packages first-class mail. Wednesday, the deadline for priority mail. And Friday, you're really cutting it close, the deadline for priority mail express. The Kenosha City Council is meeting at 7 o'clock tonight. Among the items on the agenda, recommended changes to the city's ethics ordinance, including elimination of the Ethics Committee. A resolution by Alderman Jan Mikulski that urges the governor and the legislature to approve the UW System 2017-19 budget recommendation. And there's a closed session on the recommended settlement of a discrimination lawsuit by Police Lieutenant Jane Finley and her claim about the lack of promotion opportunities regarding former Chief John Morrissey. Once the holidays are over, the Wisconsin legislature is going to be returning to the state capitol. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, off GOP election victories at different levels, looking forward to getting back to work. On WRJN's Community Conversation, Voss touched on the Electoral College popular vote debate off the presidential election, says he strongly supports the current system, and it will not change.
We live in a republic, which means that it shouldn't just be the majority that gets its way on everything. You need to have ways to make sure that the majority is checked. And that's why the Electoral College system, where they campaign in every state, because each state is important. It's not dominant just on Illinois, Florida, Texas, New York, and California. You know, Delaware, Connecticut, Wisconsin, we're just as important as any other state. And that's why the current system will never change, because it would take 3/4 of the states to change it. And I can't see small states giving away their ability to have an influence so that larger states dictate our future.
Voss also rejecting Democratic Senator Bob Wirch's call to suspend the manufacturing tax credit and to put that money toward fixing state roads.
We want more manufacturers to grow and thrive in our state. It's how our economy basically has 3 legs of a stool. We have manufacturing, tourism, and agriculture. So what we want is more manufacturers, because they have not only good-paying jobs in their own business, but they spin off with vendors and suppliers who also provide good family-supporting wages. So the problem with transportation is real, but I certainly think it doesn't make any sense to increase taxes on job creators to pay for roads that every single citizen in the state uses.
Voss adding that he continues to be disappointed, in his word, in Governor Walker's proposal to basically borrow more money and delay transportation projects. And Land's End has its new chief executive officer, Jerome Griffith, a veteran of the retail apparel industry, going back more than 25 years, but he won't be taking over for almost 3 months. He was most recently president and CEO of Toomey Holdings, which is a division of Samsonite. Our AccuWeather forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.